Good morning. How y'all doing this morning? Boy, it's good to be in God's house this morning, isn't it? It is a beautiful day outside. Yeah, give the Lord a hand, will you? It's good to be here. You know, it's funny, this morning when we came for band practice this morning, we were going over the order of service, and Tammy, who's the secretary of the church, she looked at me, and she was going over, and she said, you know, and then when did you want to have the Lord's Supper? And I went, well, we're not having the Lord's Supper. She said, yeah, we're having the Lord's Supper. I said, no, I don't remember anything about the Lord's Supper. She said, well, I've been advertising it for a month. I said, well, somehow or another, it just kind of went like this past me, and I never thought of it. But as I was preparing the message for today, it just struck me. It hit me. I knew exactly why the Lord did not let me remember that we were having the Lord's Supper today, because the topic of his message. That's why. It never fails to amaze me what God does. You know, in the cowboy culture, we put a lot of emphasis and importance on blood, on bloodlines, whether it's a horse. We're talking about bloodlines from the great ones, like the horses like Two-Eyed Jack and Doc Barr and Wimpy and Peppy, King, Leo, Poco Bueno. That's just to name a few of them. Foundation horses that we look back, and when we look at their papers, that's what we look back to see. Where did it come from? Same thing with cattle. We look at cattle to see, no matter what breed, whether it's Brahmas or whether it's Herefords or Angus or Santa Gertrudis, Longhorn or Corriente, it doesn't matter. Not so much Corriente. We just, all we care is that they got little horns and they don't weigh too much, right? I mean, that's what the ropers think anyway. But you mostly look at the bloodline to see who they come from, where they come from. And God himself also puts a lot of emphasis on blood. If you look at the nation of Israel, they go back and they can trace their lineage all the way back to Adam, starting from the very, very, very beginning. They know that's all those begats that you see in the Bible. So-and-so begat this one and they begat that one. Talking about who they came from. Jesus himself came from the lineage of David, from the house of David, in his bloodline. So it was important to God to record those things. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me about why we talk about the blood of Jesus. I even had a pastor friend of mine who was a close brother. He said, you know, if I see one thing that I could say might be wrong with the cowboy church is that they don't speak enough about the blood, the shedding of blood for our sins. And I had to agree with him. I said, you're right. And I told him, I said, I'll be praying for that the Lord would give me the right time and the opportunity to preach about it. And today was it. Not realizing that we're going to be doing the Lord's Supper, he allowed me to go through the full message preparing for it without thinking about that, even though it goes hand in hand with today's message. But I've had people ask me, you know, that's kind of a gory subject to me. I get, you know, I get a little queasy when people start talking about blood. Are you like that? Anybody out there like that? You start, especially if you see it. You know, I've got a grandson that, you know, if he sees it, automatically he starts getting weak. And you better be watching him, because the next thing you know, he's going to be on the floor. It just happens. People, they faint at the sight of blood. You know, but when Moses was told by God to go back to Egypt and to get his people out of Egypt, to go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go, he wouldn't. He wouldn't let them do it. After many, many miracles, Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. So God sent a plague over the land of Egypt, and all the firstborn, both male and female, would die, even the firstborn of all the livestock. But not one Israelite died that night, that Passover night, because God told them to do one thing. He said, I want you to find a sinless, spotless, without a mark, lamb, and I want you to kill it. Shed its blood, and I want you to wipe the blood on the face of the door, on both sides, and then over the top. And that will be a sign for the angel, death angel, when it passes, that they will be saved, all that are in that household. All through the years, God has used blood, the shedding of innocent blood, starting all the way back to Adam, when Abel was killed by Cain. And it was for the remission of sins. Blood is what is needed to save us from sure death. Later on, the high priest would sacrifice in the same way. He would accept someone's innocent lamb that was perfect, had no marks on it, and he would kill it and shed its blood and pour it over the altar for their sins. This is the old way of dealing with the problem of sin, and it was flawed because we're not perfect. So God all along had a different plan in mind, and the plan involved his only son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, even in the scriptures, talks about he is the Lamb of God, the innocent one who never sinned. He is perfect in every way, spotless. God said, I'm going to have to send my son once and for all for the salvation of the world, for the payment of their sins. Let's look in Hebrews 9, starting with verse 11. Hebrews 9:11, and this says it pretty plain. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats or calves, he entered the most holy place once and for all and secured our redemption forever. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of young cows can cleanse people's bodies from certain impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates new covenant between God and the people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins that they have committed under that first covenant. Jesus willingly laid down his life and let them shed his blood for the remission of our sins, for payment. Remission means there was a debt that had to be paid, and only blood could pay it. Another life. Jesus paid our debt, because you see, when we sin, we die. It says sin leads unto death. So Jesus paid the price so that we could go to heaven. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Man, I tell you, it's the most wonderful thing that he did. That's why we owe Jesus everything. That's why we call him our Redeemer, because he redeemed us. from certain death. We deserve to die. We were the one that did the sin. Jesus never sinned, but he loved us so much. Being the Son of God, he loved us so much that he laid his life down. What does it say that Jesus could have done if he really didn't want to die for us? He could have called 10,000 angels to take him down and destroyed anybody that tried to hurt him if he wanted to. He, the Son of God, willingly turned himself over to the authorities and let them kill him. And they thought it was done. They, whoo, man, now we can finally rest. These crazy Christians out there, man, we've killed their leader, the troublemaker. Now it's going to die. They're going to disperse. They had no idea what can of worms is going to open up. Because what happened in 3 days? Whoop! Jesus is alive. He wasn't dead. He came back to life, and people were seeing him, and it was an exciting time. Not just for the disciples that walked with him every day, but for everyone else that got to see him. He rose and defeated death once and for all. That's why we do O Jesus Everything. Those of us that believe, y'all, you need to hear this. Those of us that call ourselves Christian, that word's used loosely today. I'm a Christian. Well, yeah. You're a Christian? Yeah. Why are you a Christian? What makes you a Christian? Well, I'm not a bad person. I'm not bad. I don't beat my wife very much. I don't hit her very hard. I only whip my kids when they need it. And I never use my hand to use a belt. Not like my dad. He'd slap me. But I've been good. I'll tell you why I'm a Christian, because my grandmother took me to church when I was a kid. I've been to church several times, and that makes me a Christian. Y'all, there is only one thing that makes you a Christian. Just one. That is if you believe. He says, if you believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and he died on the cross for you, and he rose from the grave, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and he died for your salvation, and you confess your sins to him and say, I want that eternal life. And you allow the Holy Spirit to change your heart, and you become a new creature. I'm telling you all, just saying that word, Christian, today hardly means anything. Just look around you. If this world that we live in, if every person that said, I'm a Christian, stood up, there wouldn't be enough chairs in every church in America. There would be standing room only and standing outside. They'd be peeping, they'd have the windows up, and they'd be peeping into the window to hear. Those of you who truly believe are no longer in bondage to sin. We've been set free by the Son of God, by Jesus, because he set into motion salvation with his death and resurrection and the shedding of his blood. Search your hearts this morning and think about it. Do you just say you're a Christian this morning? Or have you truly, truly had an experience with God? Because when you received the free gift of eternal life, you're no longer the same person you were before. Now, it may take a long time to get all the things out of you that God wants to work on in your life, but you don't look at sin the same way that you did before? Do you? You don't. Because when you do it, when you commit a sin, automatically you're convicted. Oh man, I tell you, the Lord has worked on me on things in my life that I have to change. And I would pray, I'd say, man, Lord, you know, I think I'm almost there. I think I've just about made it to where that I'm not doing anything wrong. What do you think? Show me there's something that I'm doing wrong, or I'm saying wrong, or I'm thinking wrong. Holy cow, if you ever pray that, look out. Because he lets me know that all my righteousness, everything that I think is right in me, is like filthy rags to him. It's like scum. To me, it kind of reminds me of a septic tank. That stuff that kind of floats on top when it hasn't been pumped out enough. That's what my life, my righteousness, compares to God. So when you get to thinking, you know, I'm doing pretty good. Man, I don't think I've missed church one time this month. I go to the Bible study every Wednesday night. I study God's Word. I read my Bible every day, and I pray several times a day. Jesus' blood was shed for a reason. That reason was to give you eternal life. When you accepted it, you said, I'm taking everything that comes with it. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going to turn my life over to you, and I'm going to do everything that you tell me to do, what you lead me to do. That's something that I struggle with all the time, because I like to get things done. And when things don't get done, I automatically try to pick it up and do it myself instead of waiting on God. It's just like looking for a house. You know, I've told several of you that, ooh, it's kind of hot up here, isn't it? Is it hot down there too? Man, maybe we're getting a little close to the flame. Maybe we're all starting to get a little nervous and our blood pressure is rising a little bit. But me and my wife, we're thinking about moving closer to the church. You know, we live out there at Lake Limestone, and it's a long drive for us. And I've been praying, and I said, man, Lord, you know, I don't want to get ahead of you. Because it seems like every time I've gotten ahead of you, whew, what a train wreck. I mean, it always cost me more than I ever thought I was going to spend, and I ended up being in the wrong place. That's just an example of what I go through, trying to seek out God's will for my life. I gave you all a challenge last week about inviting someone to church, about getting uncomfortable, about actually going where Jesus would go and go into the neighborhoods, go into your next door neighbor, at your work, wherever you're at, and invite someone to come with you. How did you do? Don't raise your hand if you did. But just think about it. How did you do? Did you even remember it before you got out the door? Or did the Holy Spirit remind you and give you an opportunity to do it? How much time is it going to take us to quit playing church? You know, we're a cowboy church, but I'm going to tell you, we're still church. We're still the body of Christ. How long is it going to take? Because, you see, we don't have a whole lot of time, y'all. The clock's ticking. The Lord has been impressing on me for months and months now that I need to get things right, that we need to get things right. Here we are. We've got all these kids and young folks in our church, and we're getting ready to build, add on to the building that we've got here, or add on to this barn. More room, more classrooms. God has blessed us in a mighty way, y'all. You have no idea how God is blessing. Anytime you're doing what God wants you to do and he directs, he provides. Amen? He provides. You don't have to go to the bank. You just say, provide it, Lord. I'm telling you, he's doing it. God is showing up. It's time we showed up. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just come to you just thanking you, oh, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us each and every day. The blessings that you give us even when we are asleep. Woo! The things that you do for us that we take for granted every single day and every week of our lives. Father, I pray that we see things the way you see them. We see your power working in our lives. I pray that we see your power working in others' lives, in brothers and sisters in Christ, and those that are lost in the community. Lord, give us a desire to tell others about the most important thing that's ever happened to our life, and that's Jesus. And in his name, I pray and I thank you for his blood that he shed for us. Amen. We're going to, if you're a visitor with us this morning, we want to tell you that we're fixing to have Lord's Supper. And if you are of like faith, you're welcome to join us in the Lord's Supper and be glad that you're here to share it with us.